Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live a lot of days. If you can't get out, tune in. Thanks for tuning in today. It's Friday, May 15th, 2026. I'm live here in the studio in the basement of 140 Pine Street, Florence, Massachusetts, 01062. Now I have to breathe. For today's show, I got a report on the flowers along the rail trail between Earl Grove and the Mill River. No, actually, the skate park on West Street. And I have some interviews from this past Wednesday, that would have been May 13th, the bike breakfast, part of Bike Commute Month statewide, the bike breakfast in Pulaski Park in downtown Northampton. I got the mayor reading the proclamation. I got a little clip from James Lowenthal talking about why he supports Picture Main Street. And Emily Wergeen, I got a little clip from Emily and about her family vehicle, electric trike thingy. And maybe a couple other things from that. Ooh, my housemate Vince talks about a nature sighting. Nature, that's a funny thing. It's all kind of nature. Face up with a unexpected animal at his farm in Hatfield. I have Haymont talking about the World Cup coming up. Actually, I was also aware of the World Cup. Okay, look, I don't really follow sports. I don't really follow like a lot of things beyond the tip of my nose too much sometimes. But I was made extra aware of the World Cup coming up because when I was at Cans for Cancer today, one of the boxes, the cases that a 12-pack of soda came in, on the case it said, win tickets, free tickets to the World Cup, plane tickets for transportation and game entry tickets. Well, they said it in fewer words than that. But I was like, hey, because I had that interview with Haymont, I know what they're talking about. All right. I might play some other things and tell some other stories, too, because I have gotten feedback from listeners that they'd like to hear more from my dad in Kentucky. And last week's show was kind of a Kentucky trip recap. And I had more stories, but I ran out of time last week. So if I run out of clips today and I have time at the end of the show, maybe I'll tell more stories from Kentucky. Now, we'll start with the most recent thing. Some flower smells that just make your head spin. I was scooting up the bike path from Valley Recycling back to Florence, coming up the path by Earl Texas Grove, kind of down the hill from that VCA, whatever that is. I feel like I should not be interrupting the birds when they're singing. But I was scootering up the path, and this smell. Yes, bird. This sweet smell made me think of the tonka bean in Trinidad. Makes me think of cinnamon and birdsong and clove and nutmeg. And so I stopped, and it is the autumn olive bush along the path. I also called Russian olive. Oh, and there's a bee on a blossom. Ah, it makes my head spin. Or maybe it's that I was scootering really fast and suddenly stopped. You know what people say, it's invasive. Yes, this aroma is invading my nostrils. Hi. I was going to ask that cyclist if he smelled the autumn olive, but he was going too fast. Well, I'm going to have to see if I can find another amazing smell, because I too am oblivious to so many amazing smells because I'm moving too fast. Here's an Asian honeysuckle, but I don't really smell anything. Nothing like the native honeysuckle. Celandine is blooming all along the path. And garlic mustard,
do. And the wild black cherries, they got some blossoms on them. And celandine is a plant that grows in disturbed areas, like along the side of old railroad tracks. And it looks kind of like, I don't know, maybe vaguely like parsley or something, with a red, yellow, bright yellow flower on the top. And the telltale sign is when you break the stem, this, I'm going to break one right now. I was going to say yellow, orange, very bright yellow, little orangish sap comes out of the stem when you break it. And the garlic mustard likes to grow straight up and tall and has leaves that sort of, they're kind of sort of heart-shaped kind of with ridged edges. And the flowers are small and white. And the telltale sign is it smells and tastes garlicky. And it's edible. The wild black cherries are blooming along the path too. And their blooms, they're new trees and with long slender twigs. And the blooms at the end are tiny and white, like a long stem with probably, 50 little blossoms on the end, kind of hanging down in a row, or maybe sticking up. And I think they kind of smell a little bit like horse. Maybe it's just that I associate them with the cherry, wild black cherry tree in Kentucky right next to the horse stable. The mulberries are blooming too, some of them. Now that's really interesting because it's like, I don't know how they do it. Like the tiny, tiny micro mulberry berry, and each, like a mulberry, you know, it's got those tiny little bulbous things like a blackberry or a raspberry, and each little one has a little tuft sticking out of it. Kind of like corn, how each little kernel of corn has its own silk. Mulberry looks kind of like that. Very different from blackberry, which has more like a blackberry rose. Or at least it has the big petals like that. I'm not sure what's going on deep inside. And there's also wild black raspberries blooming next to the mulberry tree near the skate park. And they got the petals on the outside and on the inside, each little thread with a little bit of pollen on it leads down to a tiny bulb part of the bulb. Is that the right word? Globule of a berry fragment part. Oh shoot! No more time to stop and to smell the flowers. I got to go to my radio show.
Listeners who are in the know are saying, "Droplets, Ruthie, droplets. They're called droplets." I don't even know if I said that right, but that's what the internet spelled out for me. Droplets. Mulberries, blackberries, raspberries. And they're wind pollinated because I was trying to figure out, wow, those are awful small pollen pieces to flower pieces to for animals. Well, yeah, they can be pollinated by insects as well, it says online. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Next, we have a play clip from Wednesday, Bike Breakfast. And like I've said my last few shows, I have quit editing clips for technology reasons. Mainly, I think I need a new, data cord or a new phone. Not sure which. But I don't like to buy things, and I find it's much more efficient to not edit clips. It's giving me some more time to be outside and smell the flowers. And plus, I don't think my listeners really care. It is a little, it takes more challenge.
Attendee, what's your name?
My name's Emily. Do you want my whole name or just
like, up to you, whatever you want.
I'll just go by Emily.
Bike breakfast.
How'd you get to bike breakfast today?
I biked.
Bike? What kind of bike?
So I've got an electric cargo trike, and I dropped my youngest off at preschool on the way here.
Uh-huh. A cargo trike. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yeah. So it's got one wheel in the back, two in the front, and between the two front wheels, there's a big box with two benches on it. Can seat up to four kids.
Wow.
And I sit on the back and steer. and pedal, and the motor helps me out a lot because it's a heavy, heavy thing.
Yeah. And you have three kids, right?
Yeah.
Do they all three ride in there sometimes?
Yeah, yeah.
They're getting kind of big now, though.
Yeah, it's pretty crowded when they're all in there, especially if they've got their backpacks. We just did that yesterday, and they were a little uncomfortable, I think. Yeah.
Do the kids have any preference of the box versus a car? Do you have a car?
We do have a car. Yeah, we've got a minivan, so that's our other vehicle. Generally, if given the choice between the two, they usually prefer the bike.
Yeah.
Although if it's like really cold out, they'll probably.
Yeah. What about, do you have like tag along things and all like that? Like if everyone wants to pedal or something?
I don't. You know, our oldest, she can bike herself, so I do a lot of rides where the two of us go out and she's on her own bike.
Okay.
And our middle kid, he's still like mastering biking on his own, so he usually rides in the bike. And the youngest, it's just so much easier just to throw them in there and then all their stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought we would do the tag along thing, but because our oldest made it past that stage without it.
Okay.
We've just kind of made bike.
Why are you excited about bike breakfast and biking in general?
Well, I've been biking as my like preferred mode of transportation since about, I don't know now, 2005? Four. Yeah, long time. So like 20 some years. This bike breakfast happens to be just down the road where from the office where I go when I go into work. Mm-hmm. And so it's convenient and nice to see people I know that I don't get to bump into enough.
Yeah.
And connect with other bikers. And yeah, it's just really exciting to see how many people are here today and that I'm not standing out as much as I normally do in my rain gear and a reflective vest.
Well, thanks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. James, we were just here talking with the mayor. So picture Main Street. Why do you support it?
I totally support it. I think it's a great thing. You know, if we look, we have to rip up Main Street anyway. As we know, the infrastructure is crumbling. There are 100-year-old pipes under the street. There are caverns next to the main intersection in town that have had the sidewalk closed for years. The repairs need to be done. So then we have this incredible opportunity. You're ripping up Main Street. What do you want it to look like when you put it back together? We have an empty slate to fill with our dream design of what Main Street should be. And the thought that we would put back exactly this Main Street is just anathema, I think is ridiculous. So let's make the right choices. And I think about, I was just at a conference in Phoenix, Arizona, which is one of the most car-centric cities in the world. And the conference was in downtown, and I was delighted to see wide sidewalks full of people, outdoor seating for restaurants, shade trees, a really vibrant, pedestrian-friendly downtown with light rail and bike lanes. And it was a place that people were happy to go to. And the point is, that didn't just happen. It didn't just happen organically. It happened because of choices. And we have the opportunity to make choices here. Let's make choices that make downtown even more vibrant, even more pedestrian friendly, even more bike friendly. And that's what I think Picture Main Street does. So that's why I support it.
What are some of the issues that you see with Main Street right now?
It's super, super wide, and the sidewalks are narrow. And there are basically four lanes of car traffic in each way, plus two lanes of parking. So it's cars, cars, cars. More than 50% of downtown is paved for parking and driving. That's ridiculous. We have one of the widest main streets in the state of Massachusetts, if not the widest. So if we start fresh, we would never design it that way. Uh-huh. We would design it with enough lane width to accommodate Route 9. It's a state route. Fine, we're not going to close it. Some people have said, "Well, we should just close it to traffic." Okay, that can't happen because it's a state highway. But we know that the width of the road doesn't have to be so high. The amount of traffic is actually the same on Pleasant Street, which is only one lane in each direction. We can do the same thing here on Main Street. So I think there's a common, we face this for decades and decades. there's a common perception that when there's traffic, the way to fix it is with making the street wider. But that's like loosening your belt to cure your obesity problem, as was famously said long ago. We can't build ourselves out of traffic. And people also say, oh, parking is a nightmare in Northampton, which is laughable. Most people have not heard of Northampton. Northampton is a small town. It's all relative. Parking here is easy if you just spend 2 minutes driving your car to the garage, which is almost never full. There's plenty of space to park. So it's this age-old belief that that parking is the lifeblood of the city, and that people want to park right outside their destination. Okay, well, that might be human nature, but that doesn't mean that there's enough room for everybody to do that. There just isn't. We can't squeeze more parking out of the downtown. Squeezing a little bit less parking out of the downtown means, oh, we actually get much more pedestrian space, much more green space, much more event space, much more outdoor restaurant space. That's what now makes Northampton attractive and beautiful, and we'll get more of that.
Thanks.
And that was James Lowenthal, and before that, Emily Wergeen, and that was that bike breakfast sponsored by, who all was it sponsored by? Mass Bike, I don't know, Mass Bike is the main statewide bike organization, I would say it was sponsored by, but also have another clip from the same morning.
All right, it's Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. I'm here at the annual bike breakfast in downtown.
Actually, you know what? I wanted to play a bike song and not just go to another clip.
I'll try this one I wrote for my brother.
This is Kimia Dawson of Juno soundtrack fame. Dawson, and right, you're listening to out there on Valley Free Radio.
All right, it's Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. I'm here at the annual bike breakfast in downtown Pulaski Park, Northampton. Lots of tents and tables. What tent? Or where are we at here? This tent?
This is Pioneer Valley Planning Commission's tent for the Pioneer Valley Safety Action Plan.
Safety Action Plan. And what are y'all's names?
I'm Cassandra.
I'm Raul Irizarry.
And what are your roles with this?
So my focus is really community outreach for the Pioneer Valley Safety Action Plan. So that's why we're out here today, just to talk to folks, let them know that it's happening, and also help collect feedback on really any safety ideas, improvements, or issues that they're facing in the valley with transportation.
Gather around the mayor speaking. Hi, Ruthie.
It is.
Louise Shara. She is here to read an official proclamation that is of importance to us all.
Thank you, Sean. Good morning, everybody. I am so excited to be here for the 27th annual Bike Breakfast, one of my favorite mornings of the year. First, I want to recognize two other elected officials who are here. We have Ward 2 City Councilor Deb Clemmer, who just took a bite of bagel. Sorry, Deb. And we have Ward 1 school committee member and vice chair, Elena Bartoli. So thank you both for coming out for this. On behalf of want to say that this is such a fun event to host in our community, and you know, regardless of the weather, we have always such an enthusiastic crowd, and you are an enthusiastic and wonderful crowd, and it's so great to just see friendly bike loving faces. So before I proclaim today as Bike Commute Day, I want to share some exciting bike programming that has happened since last year's Bike Breakfast. First, I want to start by thanking the Office of Planning and Sustainability. Many, or some of whom are here today, and their fearless and tireless leader, Carolyn Misch, and freezing leader, I should say, Carolyn Misch, for all they do to make Northampton a safer, more connected, and more enjoyable place to bike. So thank you, Office of Planning and Sustainability. So this year, we've seen a huge increase in the number of folks out on bikes of all kinds, and it's really remarkable how technology is making it easier for people of all ages and all abilities to commute and enjoy travel on bikes. Of course, this does raise some legitimate concerns about ensuring safety for all riders, but we are working locally through our bike ped and our transportation committees to develop a balanced approach to delineating safe riding spaces for the variety of bicycles that are now out there on the road. In addition, we're really pleased that the state has passed the first ever micromobility report, or issued the first micromobility report, highlighting the importance of safely accommodating the needs of those traveling in all different modes. So this will help communities across the Commonwealth to have consistent and safe strategies, and we look forward to creating clear rules here in Northampton as well. In terms of construction, the Elm Street project will be underway shortly, adding buffered bike lanes through Elm and North Elm, that intersection, to connect existing bike lanes east and west of the high school. Design and planning using Complete Streets funding is advancing for safety improvements in the Locust Street corridor between Cooley Dickinson Hospital and Straw Avenue, based on previous work done through the Complete Streets prioritization plan that was approved in 2022. And work, yay, woo! Work on the Rocky Hill Greenway shared use path connector from Manhattan Trail to Rocky Hill Road at Ice Pond has begun again for this season, and we look forward to a summer ribbon cutting on that. All right, I like that. I want to give a huge thank you to Familiars. So in case you haven't seen it, go check out the new 01060 zip code bike rack on the Nagel Walkway behind Familiars. So Familiars is on Strong Avenue, so if you go up behind on the Nagel Walkway. This was funded by Familiars Cafe, so huge shout out to Danny and Isaac from Familiars. Thank you, Danny and Isaac, you're the best. And also huge thanks to George Kohout, who never misses an opportunity to help with anything, and we're very grateful for that. And so he helped Tominese from Planning and Sustainability to install the rack, so thank you to all of them for that, and go use that rack and have some coffee at Familiars after you park your bike there. Funding, we are now beginning to see the benefits to micromobility of the Fair Share Amendment. That was passed in November 2022, with FY24 being the initial year of discussion. So this spring, Valley Bike was awarded $1.5 million over 2 years to support infrastructure investment and operations costs. And that is huge, and we're so grateful. This provides stability to bike share and also signals that our representatives in the State House really do understand the importance of investments in all modes of transit and transportation, and not just for motor vehicles. So we are glad that they are coming around to that. And so I want to give huge, huge thanks to our own Representative Lindsay Sabadosa and our Senator Joe Comerford for all of their work on that. So thank you. When you see them, thank them heartily for all that work. And we are seeing some supplemental Chapter 90 transportation funding that will help improve our road networks with complete streets elements, such as buffered and protected bike lanes. So there is a lot of exciting stuff happening. And now it is my pleasure to proclaim today Bike Commute Day in the city of Northampton for National Bike Week. Today, May 13th, 2026, whereas bicycling contributes to the health and fitness of residents, provides mobility, does not add noise or air pollution, like that just was, and provides an inexpensive and convenient way to commute. And whereas bicyclists have the same rights and duties as drivers of other vehicles, including the right to use city streets, and whereas bicyclists must follow the traffic laws as other vehicles, both for their own safety and for the safety of others, and whereas there is so much to celebrate in Northampton bicycling, including the launch and almost immediate success of Valley Bike, the electric pedal assist bike share system that we love, and the city's first cycle track along Crescent Street. And whereas bicycles are used in a variety of occupations, such as by members of Northampton's Police Department and the DCC, Division of Community Care, and by people who haul trash and recycling from our downtown. Shout out to pedal people. And so now, therefore, I, Jean Louise Shara, mayor of the city of Northampton, do hereby proclaim May 13th as Bike Commute Day in the city, and encourage all citizens who are able to bicycle to work or to school and to take cognizance of bicyclists in their travels to do so, please. And I urge citizens to consider bicycling as an efficient, planet-friendly, and enjoyable mode of transportation and recreation. In witness whereof, I've set my hand and imprinted the seal of the city of Northampton on this May 13th, 2026. Happy Bike Commute Day, everybody. All right. Thank you, Sean, and thank you, everyone, for bringing together this breakfast. It's so wonderful.
NoHoBikeWeek.com. NoHoBikeWeek.com. There, again, is a list of businesses that will give you a discount for the month of May as a cyclist. So check them out, let them know you're a cyclist, thank them for their support, and give them your business. Again, thank you to all of our partners who came out today to share information about what they're doing. Thank you to all you cyclists who came out to partake in today's celebration. We hope you enjoy the rest of the day and the rest of Bike Month, and we hope to see you soon. Thank you.
Yay, bike breakfast. So this month is Bike Commute Month in the state of Massachusetts, and bike events, special events. Here's some special events coming up. Oh, shoot, I almost forgot. Tomorrow, well, I was reminded because I'm looking on the page that Sean mentioned, NoHoBikeWeek.com, and there it is, Pedal People's Bike Lab, tomorrow, Saturday, May 16th, 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. I'll be there. 12 Northern Avenue. You can go to, if you forget these things and you have access to the internet, you can go to pedalpeople.coop/bikelab and find all the details. Or you can do a web search on Bike Lab in Northampton. The bike lab where you don't have to be a scientist to get mad. What else do we have going on? Bikes Fight Cancer Intro to Group Riding. That's going to be Sunday, this Sunday, May 17th at 8:30 in the morning at Veterans Field in Northampton. Curious about group riding but not sure where to start? Join Bikes Fight Cancer and Layla from Northampton Bicycle for an intro to group riding as part of Northampton Bike Week. Ooh, on May 17th, that's also Sunday, 10 a.m., cargo bike meetup. Are you considering a cargo bike or other bike set up for transporting your kids? Do you already ride a cargo bike around Northampton? Join us for a chance to chat with cargo bike owners, learn about different types of bikes, and share tips and tricks for transporting kids by bike. We'll have a variety of bikes available to check out and test ride. Current cargo bikers and the cargo curious are all welcome. But to help us plan, please RSVP. At the NoHoBikeWeek.com website, hosted by Strong Towns in Northampton. That's Sunday, May 17th, 10 a.m. to noon at Agnes Fox Playground. That's on the corner of State and Church and State in Northampton. Self-guided Great Tree Bike Tour starts in Pulaski Park When is that going to be? Well, you tell me. Whenever you want. Click here to view the route online. And I tell you what, ooh, that catalpa tree by the skate park. That's a nice one. Lots of nice trees in this place. Nice. Whatever nice means. Every tree is a nice tree, if you ask me. Even a thorny locust tree. All right. Are you listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio? I'm your host, Ruthie. When I say this, it means I'm frantically looking for the button on all these tabs to the song that I wanted to play. Where's the next song I wanted to play? Oh, yes, I wanted to play Melanie. Do-do-do. Brand new key from 1971. Sorry, you know, there are so many buttons and so many sliders and so many tabs, and I only have one brain.
Past your window last night, I roller skated to your door at daylight. It almost seems like you're avoiding me. I'm okay alone, but you got something I need. Well, I got a brand new pair of roller skates, you got a brand new key. I think that we should get together and try. Got something for me.
I love that song. That's like the story of my love life. All right. Next on Out There, I wanted to announce farmers markets. Farmers market season is upon us, has been upon us. Wednesday is the Florence Farmers Market. That started last week, May 6th. Also Tuesday is the Northampton Farmers Market by Thorns. My housemate Max the Mender is there. But Max says they have a big pile of clothes to mend right now. So, well, if you've got clothes to mend, you might want to make an appointment with Max for some time in the future. And what else? Saturday, the Northampton, another Northampton Farmers Market on Gothic Street. Oh, yeah, the Wednesday Florence Farmers Market. What time is it? Is it 1 to 6? 2 to 6? Oh, Catberry, I know you're telling me what time it is, but it's on one of those tabs. Well, if you come between 2 and 6, there it will be. And I'm not entirely sure about earlier. Next on Out There, I have another clip from this week. Here we have, let me get the buttons and the sliders and the sliders and the buttons and the... Play, please.
Okay.
So, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Hemant.
And can you tell me about your summer plans for this year?
Oh, I'm really excited about the Soccer World Cup that's going to happen here in the U.S. and Mexico. Yeah, it's going to be a great fanfare. We're going to have people visiting from a lot of different countries, a lot of different fans, and yeah, hopefully we have a great World Cup.
Hopefully people can get visas?
That too. And the prices are right now a little bit crazy, so that's got to come down a little bit as well.
So you have a ticket to go to a game?
Yes, I have one ticket to one game, and that's more than I can afford it, but I think it's a little extravagant. But I did it anyway as a one-time thing.
Do you care if I ask you? You don't have to tell how much it was.
I'd rather not answer.
Okay. So when is that game?
So it's on the 5th of July. It's the Monday after the it's on a Monday. Remember, I think it's either the 5th or the 6th of July.
And do you know who's going to be playing?
Yeah, it's potentially it could be the U.S. The USMNT, that's the men's national team, versus Belgium. Yeah, so if both the teams make it, then it's going to be USA versus Belgium, and that's going to be one hell of a home atmosphere.
Who are you going to be cheering for?
I don't know yet.
Does it depend on the...
It depends on the opposition, I guess. Maybe the US, because, yeah, there'll be overwhelming support, and I don't know few players in the U.S. team.
Does it depend on the type of sportsmanship you see leading up to it or during the game, or how do you decide who to cheer for?
I'm just going to be cheering for a good game of football because I paid some money for it, so I hope it's worth it.
You hope it goes to the overtime, double overtime, triple overtime. You can keep
or at least like lots of goals, like lots of actions, and
you play soccer yourself?
I do.
You get some pleasure from that?
It's my go-to thing. It's my happy place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else you want to share?
No, that's it. Thanks for having me and hope. It's here. It's my first time visiting Northampton and I really love it. It's so green and vibrant and great for the bikers, so I'm told. And I hope to visit again maybe soon or maybe next year. Yeah. I hope to keep visiting.
Where are you visiting from?
I'm visiting from the Bay Area, San Jose, California.
With your famous friend here? What's your name? We have a previous guest on out there.
Oh, I'm Manya, one of the celebrities of out there.
That's great. All right, I think that was it for that interview. And you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. And now I remembered I have another clip. Yes, another clip from this week. Oh, yes, another clip. Let's see, I turned the slider down. Speak clip.
So, Vince, do you want to tell us about some of the life at your farm recently?
Sure. Recently. Recently, I was taking a break. There's a little green hut at the farm that has windows on three sides, little tiny windows that open up with screens. And I was sitting and reading a book.
What book were you reading?
I was reading Moby Dick, which is a good book to read if you're landlocked. Enjoying the book and enjoying my lunch. And I heard this sort of like the sound of rustling leaves or bushes or something. But there's no bushes right near that little hut. And so I leaned over and looked out. And right looking in was a mama black bear, like looking right at me. And right behind her was three baby cubs sort of coming up behind. And I was so surprised, and they seemed like they didn't seem aggressive. They were like sniffing, probably. Oh, what's in there? Food smells like food. So just curious, but I was so surprised. I just shouted, "Holy cow!" which surprised the bears. And so the mother bear just sort of turned and was like, "I don't know what to do here." And then I just started laughing at like the three little baby cubs were just like coming along. Sort of ambling behind, what did mom find? Mm-hmm. And as soon as she turned around, as soon as I started laughing, she was like, okay, I'm done. and started just sort of trotting off. And then the little baby bears turned around and trotted off, kind of like, okay, I guess we're not going to get anything to eat here. But not aggressive in any sort of way, which, I mean, I'm glad they weren't, because that little hut would be no protection from a bear. But yeah, those are the first bears I've seen out there, and it was just so weird to see them, like, boom, right in front of my face like that. I've never been that close to a bear in my life.
So after my housemate Vince told me that story, then he went on to tell me another story about a story from Alaska about, I can't really do the story justice because I didn't see it and I can't remember it too much except for the children were playing. They're like the people were drying fish on the beach, drying salmon on the beach, and the children were playing on the beach while the adults were gone. And bear cubs. The children were playing with the bear cubs and just having a great time. And then finally the parents were like, oh, it's getting dark. Where's the kids? And the kids came back. The parents, they're like, where you been? The kids like, oh, we were playing on the beach with some furry creatures. And the parents went and looked, and there were little cub bear tracks all around. And then off in the edge of the forest, they saw mama bear tracks. And that's the story. I'm not going to preach. So, you're listening out there on Valley Free Radio, and now I'm gonna play Peter Gabriel.
Connection I should cut. I was feeling
Peter Gabriel with Salisbury Hill. That song is for a friend who's going through some transition that may or may not be of his choosing. Thanks for listening to Out There Today. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. And stay tuned for my next clip. I don't know how long it's going to take me to tap the right button to get it there, but hopefully less than 10 seconds. This clip is from when I went to Kentucky in April on my way there, going through Manhattan. Oh, you know, I pressed the right button. I got the right slider thing, but I forgot to plug in my phone. All right, plug in. It's coming.
I'm going to let you go. Okay?
It's coming. Yes, let's start this already.
I like your band. Israeli prisons and Palestinian prisoners.
Thank you. It's loud.
All right. Here we go. Now you can listen. Start listening now. Right after now.
What is the event here right now?
So this is a march for Palestinian prisoners. There are thousands of prisoners being held in Israeli detention. Simply because for some people it was simply being on the yellow line, simply like being, you know, posting something like Free Palestine or even something even more simple like mourning their father end up in Israeli prisons. And the conditions in Israeli prisons have gotten worse and worse over the years. Now they're so bad that like it's unfortunately very common to hear of like sexual assaults and including using animals and objects. It's absolutely horrible. And the Israeli Knesset recently approved the death penalty. And this is for people who are ultimately innocent and should not be in prison at all. So this year is like an especially important year to advocate for Palestinian prisoners.
Thank you. I appreciate that. What's the name of your radio show?
All right. 4:49 says the clock. And have time for some more stuff. Not sure what to play at this moment. So let me play this reminder. Wait a minute.
Requesting. The closest stop to Cooley Davidson Hospital.
This is just a reminder that the buses are free. PVTA buses are free. They're still free. They're free at least till June. And the FRTA buses are free also to go to Greenfield and the Greenfield area. It's not something to be taken for granted, the amazing bus service that we have around here.
Well, it's Wednesday morning, February 4th, 2026, and our house guest last night. Where are you off to today?
I will be joining a carpool to stand vigil at the ICE facility in Burlington, Massachusetts. This will be my first time going. It was supposed to happen last week, but they postponed it because of the snowstorm.
Right.
The locals around Burlington... apparently they've been doing this every week for almost a year, like all types of weather. So there are nonviolent activists standing there, holding signs, shaming the people who were doing this terrible stuff. I found out about this through Jewish Activists for Immigration Justice of Western MA, which is quite a mouthful, but if you're interested, they have a Facebook page, and it's just like the acronym all caps, so facebook.com/JAIJWMA, I think, or you just like Google the full name and you'll find it.
The name again.
Facebook.com/
Jewish
Activists for Immigration Justice of Western MA.
Thanks.
That was a clip from the little archives, a few month old archives, but probably still definitely still relevant. Also, here's another clip from the archives. This was from a rail trail cleanup this spring.
Behind the Catholic Church. Okay. There's two tents there. Not there, but there's a bunch of big tents. And there's and I've got...
That's George Kohout, organizing people.
Andrew Hannon.
Benjamin Hannon.
What are you doing out here in the rail trail today?
We're helping clean it up.
We're helping trees and cleaning trash.
Uh-huh, helping trees. Doing what?
Preparing them for mulch.
Mm-hmm. And how did you all know about the cleanup today?
We heard about it from Northampton Cycle Club.
Northampton Cycling Club. You involved in Northampton Cycling Club?
Yes, we're members.
Uh-huh. What was your favorite part about being out here today?
I think for me, it's knowing that the trail is going to be nice and clean the next time I come bicycling along it. So.
How about you?
I love getting out in the warmer weather, being with community, and helping the bike trail.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
And that the rail trail cleanup happens every spring. Friends of Northampton Trails is the main organizer, and you can get involved next time. Or really, there's so many people that pick up trash on their daily walks and on their daily rounds. That opportunity is available. Thanks to the people that throw trash on the side of the bike path, because it gives us something to do. That was sarcastic. Sometimes it's trash that falls off a pedal people trailer. I have witnessed that. I have been responsible for that before. All right, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm getting really rambly, so let me just go to a song. Stay tuned for Democracy Now, coming up in 5 minutes, 6 minutes at 5 o'clock. And this song I'm going to play, I listened to it on this earlier, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then now I'm like, wait, this is all like AI songs. How do I feel about that? Do they play songs that people like put their effort into, I guess? You know what? I wanted to play. I told people I was going to talk about my dad a little bit. And so I'll at least play my dad's voice a little bit. So when I was in Kentucky last month, my dad, he's 90. I spend every third month there with him and other family. And he's an ordained Presbyterian preacher. But he hasn't preached regularly for 10, 15 years. But he got asked to substitute preach at the Harlan Presbyterian Church this spring, maybe like 4 or 5 times. And this one of the Sundays that I was there was one of the Sundays that he was preaching. So when I'm with him, I don't drive. I don't have a license. I don't care to have a license. But that means that my dad has to drive himself to all his doctor's appointments, to the counseling that he does. He does domestic violence counseling. He drives himself to preach. So it was like 45 miles to drive to Harlan. And then, so we get there. His health is pretty good, but the body gets old after about 90 years. His balance, he's got some issues with balance and edema in his legs and, you know, skin cancer, here, there, things like that, and neuropathy. But the balance is the thing that you might notice first, because when he gets out of the car and he's trying to walk up these steps into the church, fortunately, it had a really nice railing. So he had the railing on one side and his cane in one hand, the cane in his other hand, and I had his Bible. Why do they make Bibles so heavy? He said he was going to have to get a lighter Bible, or next time not bring his Bible, because it was kind of throwing off his balance a little bit when he was trying to carry it. So, you know, we go up, you know, step by step, go up into that church. He's trying to act all spry. But we made it inside. No teeter-tottering too much. And got introduced and got welcomed. And the person that was going to introduce him, you know, introduced himself and all. So, and they sat and they... My dad sat down in a nice, sturdy wooden chair next to the pulpit, because you got to have those hand rests, really sturdy hand rests, for him to get himself up out of a chair. He needs something to push on. He can't be sitting in a folding chair, or he's just going to, when he tries to get up, he's going to go down. So he had a nice chair. It was Communion Sunday, so they also next to the communion table, they put another nice sturdy wooden chair there so he could sit in that chair to break the bread and or bless the bread, break the bread and bless the bread and the wine. So when after he was introduced by the main person and it was time for him to go up to the podium. Actually, I think I can play. I think this is where this clip starts. Let's see if that's where this clip starts. It starts with the church music. Yes. You'll have to wait till next Friday. When is my show Friday? You'll have to wait till next Friday, I think, to hear my dad. I only got the first few minutes of his sermon. Well, I'll just tell you when they're playing the music. So when the music stopped, it was time for him to get up to the podium. And he pushes off the rail, the armrest of that sturdy wooden chair. And he's got some sermon papers in one hand, his cane in the other, and he tries the first time and can't quite make it, tries the second, the third time, he gets up right, and he's standing, and the whole audience, which is like all 22 people, are looking, we're like, don't fall over, please don't fall over, we're praying that you don't fall over. And he makes his way the three steps to the podium, and everyone sort of lets out a breath, because it's been about 30 seconds. And he gets up to the mic and he says, "We've all got issues." And everybody laughed. And then he started the Bible, the gospel reading. And then he started into the sermon, but that'll have to wait for another week.